Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Paddock Project. We are heading into the second part of the Baku Singapore doubleheader, and it's a night race and a street circuit. So we are spoiled with action, hopefully, this weekend. Singapore was so many people's favorite race last year because it was the only non-Red Bull win of the season. So go Carlos, throwback to that. Although we do have a much more exciting season this year, we're still expecting big things. So let's get into it. I'm Tiggy.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Chessa. Okay, welcome to a classic night race, the classic night race. I think the, what's the Instagram handle? It's F1 Night
Race. F1 Night Race. I love it.
It's also incredibly, incredibly hot. Drivers train so intensely for this. You can see probably this week on their Instagrams, like biking in saunas, doing things like that. It's a very brutal race physically. They've been really, really training. And as far as training goes, I think this race is probably like the benchmark for a driver's fitness level. And in addition to it being super hot and humid, this is a unique schedule here that's pretty grueling, right? We said it's a night race, makes adjusting to jet lag very, very difficult for the drivers. And this is kind of similar to what we talked about from after the Vegas race too, but all the teams and drivers have very specific schedules. So this time around, many of the teams and drivers will actually stay on European time. So they'll be up until like 5 a.m. Singapore time and then wake up after 12 p.m. local time.
And I think it was someone at McLaren told us that the Hilton keeps whole floors on European time for them and adjusts the breakfasts and everything to just fully be operating on European time.
That's what happens when you have a hotel as your sponsor.
You can clutch.
Change the time of day.
Singapore held its first Grand Prix in 2008. It was the first night race in F1 history. Again, as we said, thus why it is the night race on Instagram. It really pioneered the new type of racing. The Marina Bay Street Circuit is truly spectacular. It's in downtown Singapore. It runs very close to tall towers, famous hotels. It's a heavy downforce track, so it can be quite tough on the tires if not managed well. And to add to that, it's also a pretty bumpy street circuit, which factors into why Red Bull was struggling so much last year. They tend to struggle on bumpy surfaces. In terms of some circuit stats, it's almost 5 kilometers long, 4.94 kilometers, 62 laps. The lap record is held by Lewis from 2023. And one thing that's really interesting is a fourth DRS zone was added this year between turns 14 and 16. Yeah, which is crazy. Most tracks only have two and some tracks only have one. So four DRS zones is pretty crazy. It will hopefully help with more overtaking. And it's also kind of two back-to-back DRS zones because there's also a DRS zone at turns 13 and 14 right before that. So definitely watch kind of the back couple turns for some good action.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. This is something that the drivers had petitioned for last year, but it didn't happen in time. So we're seeing it for the first time this year. I'm super excited. But let's talk about last year. This was the most exciting race. We were spoiled being able to watch drivers race till the very last lap. Carlos officially broke the 308-day Red Bull winning streak. God. No one was counting to take home the first and only non-Red Bull win of the season. Both Red Bulls were out in Q2 in quali in what was a bit of a foreshadowing for the Sunday result. So quali, we had Sainz, Russell, Charles, top three start, which was super fun. And it was just the absolute best 10 laps watching the top four. So you had Sainz, Lando, and both Mercedes just duking it out. The gap was less than 2 seconds between them with three laps to go. And it really could have been anyone's for the taking. But then this was so crazy. Russell crashed.
Oh my God, I'm remembering this.
On the very last lap, trying to get past Norris for P2. So that was tragic. But the podium ended up being Carlos, Lando, and then Hamilton. Apparently, Lando also touched the wall, but it wasn't race destroying like it was for George. Just kind of shows how full out they were going at this point. But then this is, of course, as well, the infamous Carlando teamwork that held off the Mercedes on fresh mediums. So Carlos was like slowing down to help Lando speed up, to slow down the Mercedes. So this was a very, very fun race. And a couple other things to shout out. This was Liam's maiden points. I think it was the first time ever a driver had scored maiden points in Singapore, which just goes to show how demanding that race is and why I think Liam maybe deserves a seat.
Which we'll talk about.
And then Oscar went from P17 to P7, which was another fun highlight.
I love drives like that where you can gain so many places. Those are driver of the day vibe drives. kind of a tongue twister. Okay, so let's jump into the teams and what we can expect this weekend. I think the team that deserves the starting spot here is now McLaren, since they have overtaken Red Bull. They are our new championship leaders. I gasped. Like, I knew it was going to happen after the race, but I went and, like, looked at the tables after the race, and it's always just so cool to see a new championship leader. So after Baku and Oscar's ability to fight off Charles for 25-plus laps despite Charles having DRS, people are really talking about McLaren's mini, quote, mini DRS rear wing that may be helping its straight line speed. So basically, rear camera footage shows that the outer edge of the upper flap tilting upwards as the car goes faster is kind of raising the question of these, quote, flexi wings once again. So we'll keep all eyes on that. They're a little bit of a gray area in the FIA regulations, and teams are really always and have always been trying to push the limits of this. So it's not expected that McLaren's outside of the regulations, but assuming it's legal, teams are going to start to catch on and replicate this. So this is kind of where the development race comes into play. And like we said, we've already seen most of the high-speed circuits this season, so McLaren may have reaped most of the rewards from this already, and maybe they'll start to plateau in terms of, you know, big jumps in performance, but definitely a lot going on. And I think one thing that we've been talking a lot about and that we've been getting a lot of engagement and debate online is our videos about Oscar versus Lando, and are they both really world championship caliber drivers? Stella said that Lando's help holding up Checo in the race was a big factor in Oscar's Baku win. So I think we'll have to continue to see how this plays out. But what do you guys think?
I think based on the information we have right now, they're both definitely world championship caliber drivers. I think we can't forget that Lando has had many more seasons in F1 than Oscar has. Oscar is a super young rookie, and to already be performing at this level, like we talked about on the recap, very, very few drivers would be able to hold Charles Leclerc in a Ferrari with DRS behind them for over 25 laps. It's pretty unprecedented driving. So I'm kind of team Oscar here. I think Oscar is definitely up there with Lando, and I think it'll be fascinating to see next year when we're starting the season on kind of a clean slate, if McLaren is the top car from the very start, what it'll be like.
Totally. I think the more interesting thing is just, like we've talked about a lot, the interpersonal dynamics and how do you balance and handle as a team two world championship caliber drivers who are both young, both hungry, and really, really want it. So I think it's going to be so interesting. And yeah, we talked about that a lot in the recap of just like starting with a clean slate and McLaren really trying to play the long game and not picking a favorite. So I think it'll be a tricky balancing act for them to continue.
That's a great point about having two young world championship caliber level drivers, because sometimes we see the dynamic where there's the old veteran world champion, like when we have Lewis and George, where there can still be a little bit of tension, but they just fundamentally are parts of kind of different generations, and that makes it less directly competitive. And there's no other teams really where there's two young drivers of that caliber who will be directly competing for the same titles, probably.
Ugh. Yeah, it's like higher risk, higher reward. You have these two super young, hungry, and McLaren has said a million times, like, we think that we have the best driver pairing on the grid. And I don't think they're wrong, but in terms of what they have to handle based on that and based on their age and how much they have left in their careers and how much is on the line, I think it's probably the hardest pairing to handle.
Yeah. I mean, when you have the quote-unquote best driver pairing, that means it's going to be a blessing and a curse, because the odds of having to struggle through team orders and papaya rules and all of that becomes so much more prevalent.
For Red Bull, one fascinating thing that came out this week was Red Bull seems to have identified where things really started to go wrong with car development. Christian said, quote, "The first mistake we made was with an underbody upgrade in 2023 in Barcelona." Whoa. And this was when they had started upgrading the floor. I am so interested that they're talking, already kind of admitting that potential problem stretched back this far. And then Christian said it was the race that was really pivotal in last year's season for Checo. And it was the race where kind of Checo's form really started to go downhill for the rest of the season. But they said that the team, quote, didn't take it seriously because Max kept winning every single race, like we said, except for Singapore. So fascinating turn of events here. It's kind of a justice for Checo scenario. I think I'm always obviously up for any facts that show how much Max can outdrive a car, but it's maybe seems like Checo was – right all along that the car had issues and Max somehow, but how bad can the issues be if Max is able to top off one of the most winningest seasons in F1 history? I don't know.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I think what I'm so curious about is what now is so wrong with the car that Max can't compensate. It's not like Max has become a worse driver. It's like the car, it feels like the car has reached a point of no return that now neither driver, even one of the best in the world, can compensate. But yeah, I'm so curious about the Checo question. I do feel like there's a little bit of redemption here for Checo.
Oh my God, I feel horrible. First of all, how many times have we said, quote, the beginning of the end for Checo in terms of like the mid-season downfall, all the different ways that we've phrased it. But really they're saying it was that race in 20 last season for him. I mean, I might have to go back on all of my comments, but I think definitely justice for Checo. But you know, now like if they went that direction, it's gotten so far that they really feel like they can't go back. And to your point that it's getting bad enough that Max can't even drive it, it's kind of giving Mercedes a few years ago where they literally just had no idea how it got so bad so fast.
Mercedes a few years ago? You mean like Mercedes last month?
No, especially Mercedes like
porpoising era.
Yeah, exactly.
When it started to go downhill, for sure.
It's also fascinating because it had always been kind of explicitly known that Checo was able to drive the car at the beginning of the season. He would be getting podiums. Again, not beating Max, but it's the first four or five, six races of the season where Checo's on the podium, super competitive. And then once the upgrades start coming is where he starts falling off. And that had always been kind of just an acknowledged fact, but there was never a question of, oh, is it because the upgrades are bad? I am so interested in this.
It was always the upgrades favor Max. That was always the argument, which still theoretically could be true in part, but it seems like it's really just that maybe the upgrades were bad and Max was just that good. He could deal with it.
Or maybe they were bringing the upgrades to Checo first and then he didn't have as much data or something to help. But either way, your point is,
I think they'd be bringing them to Max first as number one driver. But it's reminding me of when we interviewed Bradley, his trainer for several years, including in 2022, how he was saying that Max as a kid would drive around with one tiny part that Joe said changed, and he would say, what did I change on the car? It's crazy the feel that they have of being able to sit in the car and tell that there's one tiny, tiny differential that's making the difference. But maybe Max was always better at feeling that and addressing it after these upgrades.
But that's that would beg the question of like, if it were going the wrong direction, Max should have been able to stop it in its tracks. But anyway, before we go down this rabbit hole, something is wrong with the Red Bull car and now both drivers are suffering. For Ferrari, Ferrari was a big part of the podium conversation in Baku. So it's nice to see them fighting back up at or towards the front. Charles was a bit disappointed in himself for not defending harder against Piastri when he passed in Baku. And I think for Carlos, he just needs to bounce back from that Checo crash. Hopefully he'll have as good of a weekend as he did last year. But I'm excited to see if Ferrari can keep up the fight, because Constructors is close in that top three. It is not a given for anyone.
It's getting so flipping exciting. Okay, so speaking of top three for Mercedes, they're not making up the points they need at the moment to fight in top three for Constructors. I think IMO, in my opinion, they might be down for the count at this point. I think they're sitting pretty in P4, and I think we'll have to call it at that. But yeah, I mean, I'm always excited to see when they're in the conversation, what else they can pull out, especially as we near the end of Lewis's races with Mercedes. It would be nice to see him extract the last bits of good juju he can out of that car.
And what's always interesting for Mercedes too is what we were talking about in terms of Lando and McLaren's hopes for both championships, and how some races Mercedes does just come out with an incredible car. Remember Lewis winning Silverstone? You just never really know when it's going to happen, but then sometimes it does, and that it's a major blow to McLaren to have multiple teams picking off their points if you have both Ferrari and Mercedes, and even potentially at least one Red Bull looking competitive in certain races.
Yeah, but I guess if you're McLaren, I'm trying to think, you would want people picking off points from Red Bull obviously yeah. not from yourself, but if anything that pushes Red Bull slightly down the order at this point is probably their first priority. So in a weird, twisted way, they probably want Ferrari and Mercedes to at least be up there battling with Red Bull.
Right. As long as it's not in P2, P3, they kind yeah. of need them all
bunched up,
squabbling in the P4 to P7 range.
Yeah, exactly.
For Aston Martin, hopefully Stroll can bounce back from his DNF and they can have a good weekend going forward. That was really unfortunate after some lap one contact. Alonso still did give us some great racing, but they have a lot of momentum here with this newly signing, Max 2026 ? Which we talked about. So keep an eye on Aston Martin. And then we have to talk about VCARB. It's kind of one of the huge questions here. We still do not have a seat signing of who is going to be pairing Yuki. Daniel Ricciardo is unsigned, and Tiggy had mentioned how Liam Lawson did excellently in this race last year. Liam Lawson is a huge factor here, or maybe there could be a wild card as well. What do you all think?
I'm team Liam. I want another rookie. I think we had a stolen season this year because we had no rookies this year. So I want all the rookies for next year, and I want it to be Liam because he's amazing, and we interviewed him, and he's super fun, and I think he's another excellent driver, and it's always very exciting when you have a ton of really young and very promising talent all at once, per our earlier conversation about McLaren. I think it will be really exciting.
I agree, and I think it's interesting to think about Red Bull's perspective here as well, because they are the overlord, I feel like, in terms of who gets the VCARB seat. And if they are worried about their car going downhill – and they're potentially worried that Max might jump ship to Aston Martin for Honda and Adrian Newey purposes. In my mind, you'd want the next young, maybe not Max Verstappen, but like as close as you can get.
Yeah.
And I feel like Liam is the best wild card option for that. I mean, I don't know if you'd call him a wild card, but like of the drivers who are not on the grid, wouldn't you want to see what he can do as a potential backfill for Max? I feel like they don't believe in Yuki at that level. Danny's at the end of, well, not the end, but getting towards the end of his career.
You don't think Danny's a world championship material?
But like, wouldn't you want to try to start finding the next Max if he's yeah. either going to retire or leave at some point?
Yeah, and he's been hinting at that. I mean, obviously we don't know how seriously, but totally agree.
That also raises the question of Isaac Hadjar, who is mm-hmm. a star in Formula 2. He's much higher in the F2 standings than a lot of the rookies who are signed, and he is a Red Bull development driver and has done FP1s. He just didn't have the actual shot in F1 racing that Liam has had, but they do have several potential options, and I think I held out as long as possible, but I think I agree that Danny is not.
The day has come.
Their best option going forward. This pains me, but.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning F1 championships is sometimes also what you need to keep your beloved car running day in and day out. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're looking for speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. They have over 122 million parts for your car. You'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And they have eBay Guaranteed Fit, which means your part is guaranteed to fit your car every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're about burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. So keep your car alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, friends, today we're talking about sleep and specifically getting better sleep. If you can relate to having trouble falling asleep and staying asleep and getting good quality sleep, then listen up. We are so excited to share a new product we've been using from Beam, their Dream Powder. Our listeners will get a special discount on this Dream Powder. It's a science-backed, healthy hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. It tastes insane. I did it last night and I woke up this Monday morning feeling incredibly refreshed. I gave it to my little sister and she loved it too. They also have amazing flavors, sea salt caramel, brownie batter, vanilla chai, and then of course the original flavor, cinnamon cocoa. It's been tested for high quality efficacy and formulated to ease your body into rest, supporting all four stages of the sleep cycle to help you stay asleep longer and fall asleep faster. Other sleep aids can cause next day grogginess, but Dream contains a powerful all natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. If you want to try the best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/Paddock Project and use code Paddock Project at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/Paddock Project and use code Paddock Project for up to 40% off.
Like most people, we love a great deal, but what we don't love is jumping through a million hoops just to end up saving a few dollars, especially when it comes to wireless plans. There's so many promos and offers out there, but they do really make it hard to get good quality savings. With Mint Mobile, it really is so easy though. For just $15 a month, you can get a wireless plan when you get a 3-month plan. And the website and activation process are so seamless. Honestly, the longest part of this process is going to be the time that you spend on hold trying to break up with your old provider. To get started, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. There you can see that right now all 3-month plans are only $15 a month, including the unlimited plan. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan, and you can bring your old phone number along with all of your existing contacts. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. That's mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions may apply. We have been very busy lately and have been really trying to do everything we can to feel our best as we wind up the summer and head into a very busy fall. And one thing we've been doing to help us and support us is using our Happy Mammoth products, especially Estro Control. It helps to support our hormones and alleviate any of those pesky PMS symptoms, including bloating. And it also assists in maintaining cognitive health and promoting liver function and digestive health. Happy Mammoth also has the amazing Hormone Harmony supplement dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women, and they make no compromise when it comes to quality. For a limited time, get 15% off your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today.
All right, well, let's talk about another rookie who I think is an open question, Williams and Colapinto. So his career is kind of at a dead end at Williams, at least for next year, next season. But there are rumors that he could be a contender for the potential Steak Sauber Audi seat. James Vowles himself said he was, quote, proud like a father of Colapinto this past weekend, and that he thinks he deserves an F1 seat. And he said, we'll see if we can find a way of working with Audi in that circumstance, which I think is interesting because that then begs the question, as we think about Steak, like Colapinto versus Bottas versus potentially Bortoleto, which is the other name that's been thrown out.
But when he says Audi, does he mean for the 26 seat, or could he mean next year?
I would imagine next year, because I think Audi's probably already has a good say. Like,
yeah,
that was, I thought, a lot of the reason behind Nico Hülkenberg, the whole German tie, you know.
Yeah.
I think they probably have some sway here.
I'm all for it. I mean, it's amazing that he got to jump in mid-season, but it's probably very hard to jump in mid-season. You know, he's young and he knows he probably has a very bright future ahead of him, but imagine jumping in mid-season knowing that there's no chance of you getting a seat at the team that you are racing for right now. So all you can really hope for is that whoever's looking out for you, in this case, it looks like it's going to be James, is sort of like helping him play the field and strategizing to get him in as soon as possible, because I do think, you know, if you race half a season in F1 and then you don't get a seat right away, who knows how many years you'll end up taking off before you're able to maybe come back. So it's tough.
It is cutthroat out here for these rookies.
I love it, though. I love that there's so many of them.
For Haas, Ollie Bearman is coming in hot to Haas with a 100% points record in his 2 races. Komatsu called his performance, quote, not perfect, but impressive.
Thanks.
Brutal. One thing I do think to watch for, understandably, he was getting super upset when things went wrong in Baku, like his crash in practice. Again, it's understandable. He's only 19, but that is something that we don't really see from younger drivers like Oscar, who have a bit more experience, aren't fully rookies anymore. So that's something to watch for next season with him. Meanwhile, K-Mag will be back in the car this weekend following his race ban. This is the first time an F1 driver has been banned over the penalty point system. So the FIA is going to revisit this system and the penalties associated with it because a lot of the drivers think it's quite harsh, but there aren't really high hopes for the system changing meaningfully. Personally, I think if anyone was going to get a race ban from stacking up so many penalty points, it made sense that it was K-Mag. Yeah, like, you agreed. Need to stop causing collisions and drive more conservatively if you're on the edge of a race ban, but
it's said. Like how in soccer, if you get a red card, sometimes you can't play the following game. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think the argument against that is even Gasly, who K-Mag had crashed into at one point or whatever the incident was, had come forward speaking on K-Mag's behalf, saying like these incidents don't necessarily have the weight that we're giving them and they don't necessarily lead to a race ban. It seems kind of harsh. So I think if you have drivers speaking out against this who have been directly affected by your reckless driving, I think fair, that's interesting.
So true. And it's hard enough one compared to other sports where a lot of the times there isn't quote unquote fault in the same way like there is with a red card of a lot of these borderline racing incidents, borderline whose fault was it, where it comes down to the stewards looking at video of whose wheel was ahead yeah. of the midpoint of the car at the apex. It is just more technical, but sometimes K-Mag's driving just it's not technical. It's just don't
it's
do
just
that.
K-Mag.
It's not surprising that it was him.
Yes. All right, to wrap up our last team, it feels like we kind of say the same thing, but let's see if Alpine can bounce back from a no-points weekend in Baku and play a little bit more in the midfield. Okay, hot take. Sarah, what do you have?
Am I allowed a Max win as a hot take?
I think that's fair at this yes. point. I think that's fair. I never thought we'd see the day, but here
Thank
we are.
God.
I feel like that's so hot that I'm going to throw in something else, which is – Lawson being announced for V-Carb.
Good.
Ooh, Singapore. That could be a fun full circle moment for him after
oh,
his
so
points
true.
Last year. Yeah, I like that. I like that. All right, I'm going to go with a Ferrari win. Ooh. I think it's not – is that hot?
Tiki,
I guess that's
sorry,
hot.
Sorry, I'm going to pull a U. Can you get more specific, please?
Yes. I'm going to say Carlos goes back to back on his wins in Singapore.
Okay. I like there that. I like that.
It feels hot, but I'm
I love playing devil's advocate on that one. Okay. For me, I'm going to say Colapinto points again. He's going to get P8 specifically, and we're going to see a driver signing.
Which one?
Well, Sarah said Liam, so I guess I'll just say stakes he gets filled.
Bye.
Ooh.
Bye. Tiggy, enough. Let's move on.
You did it to me, so I'm giving it right back.
Let's wrap up. Okay.
So for one quick piece of news, Bahrain has been chosen again as the February preseason testing location for 2025, despite the change in the schedule with the starting Grand Prix now in Australia. Mm. But I guess unless you're doing testing in Australia, everything is far. So Bahrain it is again.
Thanks, everyone, for joining. We are so excited for the Singapore race this weekend, given how exciting this season has gotten. If you got a second, please rate and review the podcast. It helps us a lot. And we can't wait to talk to you all on Monday about Singapore.